my shepherd and only provider. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his house forever until the end of time. Jesus, my shepherd and only provider, you make me lie down. Beside the still water, you restore my soul. Though I walk through the valley of shadows, I will not be afraid.
I'm not afraid.
Your rod and staff are my only comfort, and you'll be with me always.
Oh, hallelujah. Great, great, great day it is. Great time it always is with us here at the Daily Faith Boost. Glory to God. Welcome to a new week. Welcome to a season of great blessing, a season of great increase. Yes, that's what it is for you. Hallelujah. So, are you ready? How was the weekend? Great, I believe. Did you win? Did you make progress? Did you give attention to God's word? Don't forget, the word of God means so much to us. The word of God means like so much to us. And all we've got to do is give it some more attention. All right. So here we go. Boosting. Praise God. Glory to Jesus Christ. The 23rd Psalm. You know where we're going. Okay. All right. So the Lord, I'm using the Amplified Classic. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful water. So that's what we're going today. The second verse, more on the B part of the second verse. All right. So the easy to read says, he gives me green pastures to lie in. He leads me by calm pools of water. Okay. So that B part, he leads me by the calm pools of water. He leads me by the calm, by calm pools of water. NLT says, he leads me beside peaceful streams, peaceful streams, peaceful streams, peaceful streams. The Passion Translation says, his tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. NIV, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Quiet waters, just so beautiful. Message says, you find me quiet pools to drink from. So we see the word quiet. We see peaceful. We see still waters. He leads me beside still waters. Amplified, still and quiet waters. Contemporary English Version, streams of peaceful water. I'm sure this basically, all right, paints a picture in our minds. There's that picture of gentleness, picture of stillness. So the shepherd leads us, guys, and he leads us, all right, to quiet streams to drink from. Quiet streams, not rushing water streams. Quiet, gentle streams. And the word quietness there also communicates rest, like you saw. Communicates peace, like you saw. Isn't this exciting? I remember, you know, we said a few episodes ago that Psalm 23 is still for us today. It's not a psalm that is expired. It's still for us today. Glory to God. Jesus is our shepherd. All right. Jesus is our shepherd, and he gives us quietness, brings us into peace, into safety, into security. He just blesses us on again and again and again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Glory to God. I mean, that was a statement, you know, that David made to Solomon. And I'd like to, you know, bring it to our attention quickly. Because one thing that David understood was he knew God, okay? But then David understood that God was also going to do something in Solomon's life. You understand that, right? So it's just amazing, because you and I have got to come into that reality, that relationship, that revelation, that understanding of who Christ is to us, all right? Who Christ is, you know? Okay, so this one I'm reading is, you know, a statement is being made, all right, to David, you know, not about Solomon. So the first Chronicles, rather, and the 22nd chapter, the 9th verse says, "Behold, a son shall be born to you, all right, who shall be a man of rest, and I'll give him rest from all his enemies round about, and his name will be Solomon, and I'll give him peace and quietness," you know, give peace and quietness to all Israel in all his days. 10 now says, "He will build a house for my name. He will be my son. I'll be his father, and I'll establish his throne," or the throne of his kingdom, "forever and ever." So God is saying here, a son will be born. He will be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies. His name will be Solomon. All right. I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. And you and I understand that there's a double interpretation here. So it's talking about Solomon. It's talking about Christ Jesus. Because Solomon did not build God a house, all right, or a kingdom, or did not have a throne that was forever and ever and ever. The only person who's done that is Jesus Christ. So this is like double interpretation. This is double emphasis. This is God talking to David about Solomon, but then actually prophetically pointing to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus shows up, and you guess he is the Prince of Peace, bringing in peace, bringing in rest, bringing in peace. So Jesus is the shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives it." So we find that Jesus is out to communicate peace. He's out to bring us into rest. Don't forget the second verse again of the 23rd Psalm. "He makes me lie down," all right, "in green pastures. And then he leads me beside the still waters." So there are still waters. He leads us to drink from quiet pools. There's peace. I just love what it communicates. That peace, that gentleness, guys, that peace, that quietness, praise God. You know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we run quickly to Isaiah. Isaiah, you know, the 30th verse of the book of Isaiah, beautiful. "Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest would you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." All right? He says, but you would not agree. All right? You will say, hey, but no, we're going to flee on horses. All right? Therefore, you will flee. You would ride upon swift horses, and those who pursue after you, they will be swift. You know, but he's saying, no, this is not what he wants. He doesn't want them pursuing. He doesn't want them being pursued. He doesn't want them to get into trouble. No, 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 no. All right. In 17 verse, he says, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you will be left as a beacon on top of a mountain and an ensign on the hill. All right. "And therefore will the Lord wait, and that he may be gracious to you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait on him." Did you get that? He is a God of judgment. Blessed are they that wait. So he's saying, hold on. Wait for me. Wait on me. So that 15th verse again says, "Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and in rest, you will be saved. In quietness, in confidence, shall be your strength. In returning, so you come to me, that's what he's saying, and rest, then you'll be saved. Did you get that? Because we're saying, oh, he is our shepherd, he leads us, but he cannot lead us if we don't allow. If we can, he cannot lead us if we don't recognize him. You know, many people could say, oh, but I'm jumping from one troubled water to the next. I'm not having the opportunity to be by the quiet stream. Remember what we said about safety? That safety is not the absence of danger. Safety is the presence of God. Same applies here. So, you know, there could be trouble all around, but there's peace within. You know, there could be trouble all around. Like we read later also in the 23rd Psalm, that he sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. But how does that work? It means there could be people ganged up all around you. And he says, take your eyes off them. Get your eyes on the table. Take your eyes off them. Get your eyes on the table. Take your eyes off them. Get your eyes on the table. It's you and I understanding. You and I coming to learn the place of faith. The place of don't be distracted. Don't be like Peter, who looked away from Jesus and looked to the wind, got scared, doubted, and began to sink. No. So in as much as things might be happening all around you that might not be the way you want them to go, put your gaze on the Lord. He is our peace. He is your rest. He is your place of rest. Hallelujah. He is your quiet place. And then in putting your focus on him, then he leads you right. Someone says, but how do I focus on God? How is God expecting me to focus on God? How exactly do I do that? Something interesting happened in the book of Numbers. All right, and Jesus makes reference to it about himself. I mean, you almost wonder, Jesus, why did you do that? Because everything we find, all right, in the Old Testament, largely, I mean, not like everything, but basically, all right, we have all of that pointing us to Christ Jesus, okay? So in the popular John chapter 3, I know if I quote verse 16 or actually to quote it, you'd finish it, won't you? But the 14th verse of John chapter 3 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll take that again. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So what happened in the wilderness? So they disobeyed God. They murmured. They did the things they would normally do. And then serpents came out. So they were being beaten by serpents. Okay? And then a number of them were dying. So of course they'll cry unto Moses, 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 like, God, what do I do? So God tells Moses to make a brazen serpent. Okay, that's a serpent made of bronze. So make a brazen serpent and then lift it up. Raise it high up and tell the people, you've got to look. Look. And if you look, you will leave. You might know that beautiful song. Look and leave, my brother. Leave, look and... All right, so anyway, you know. So it says, look. The question is, how do you tell someone to focus on a serpent on a pole? Now, not a real one, of course, a brazen serpent, when there are snakes all around or when the person himself might have been beaten. So you're telling a man or a woman, all right, look, and then, no, I've been beaten. Look, look, look. And so he's saying, keep your eyes on the one that has been bruised. Keep your eyes on the one that has been battered. Oh, that pain is heavy on your body. Quite unbearable, but keep your eyes on the one in Isaiah 53 who was wounded for your transgression, the one who was bruised for your iniquities, the one who was chastised for your peace. Hallelujah. The one who by his stripes you've been made whole. Keep your eyes on him. Oh, but the pain is this. Oh, but the pain is that. But look, look at the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Look at the resurrected Lord. Oh, but things are troubling me here and then troubling me there. But you've got to look. You've got to look at the one that took away heaviness and gave you peace, took away mourning and gave you dancing, gave you joy. You've got to look at him. You keep your face, your gaze on him. And Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 tells us that, looking unto Jesus. The word looking unto there in Hebrews 12 2 paints a good picture of look away from and focus on. Look away from, focus on. Look away from. So things will call your attention. Challenges will call your attention. Say, hey, I'm still here. That pain will call your attention. And say, you don't think you're going to have a great week. I'm going to mess up your week. But you say, no, the victory is in looking away. Please get this. The victory is in looking away. Please, not denial. No, not ignoring. No, I know you're there, but looking at you only makes you grow bigger. I know you're there, but looking at you only makes you grow worse. I will look at the answer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I will look at the risen Lord. I will look to him alone that gives wisdom. Him alone that gives life. Him alone that gives direction. Him alone from whom all strength come. To him will I look. Are you getting this, child of God? So in quietness, in returning, in rest. So you've got to return to the Lord. Now you are born again, I will presume, in listening to this broadcast. In case you're not, it doesn't cost anything. It's you believing in your heart, all right, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Of course, that means you have to believe that he died, okay, and that he was raised up from the dead. And then you confess with your mouth, all right, that Jesus is Lord over your life. That simple. Why is it simple? Because he's paid the price for everything. So the process is just you believing and receiving. Did you get that? He's paid the price. He's paid the price for your sins. Whatever it is you want God to punish you for, so you can feel like, oh, at least I suffered for the things I've done. Not necessary. Jesus was judged for our sake. That's why he hung on the cross. He was judged for you, judged for me. All right. So don't look at your sin and the weight of it. Look at his grace and his love and how that was punished for you and say, wow, Jesus, I believe you resurrected. I confess you as Lord. Do you get that? All right. Praise God. In the 32nd chapter of Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 32, right? From the 15th verse. So beautiful. I mean, I like the 15th verse because of what he says, you know, about the Holy Spirit. But then it's interesting. We're going to read a little bit further down today, okay? So 15 says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field will be accounted for as a forest. So when the Spirit is poured, and you have the Spirit, all right? When the Spirit is poured, anything that is barren and unfruitful will begin to become fruitful. That's 15. 17 says, then, by the influence of the Holy Ghost, then shall, you know, we dwell, all right, or within, you know, judgment rather, would dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. Don't forget, the Spirit was poured, right, and then the wilderness became a fruitful field, and the fruitful field was accounted as a forest. It says, then will judgment dwell in that wilderness, and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. 17 is where we're going. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Did you get that? The work of righteousness. If you're born again, then you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So the work of righteousness is peace. 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 The work of righteousness is peace and the effect of righteousness. So the person who is born again should not be, shouldn't be perturbed by the happenings of life like everybody else. Something is different about you because you have peace. Please get this. You are in a place of peace. So, but why are we perturbed? Because we look again. We look at the wrong place. Colossians 3, all right, says we should set our minds on things above. The only way things rough, things ugly, become peaceful. Hallelujah. All right, I'm trying to jump ahead of myself now. But in Philippians chapter 4, and the only way you and I, let me just go straight there. In Philippians chapter 4, from the 6th verse, Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Now, there are things that will make us anxious, all right? A relationship not going well, health not going fine, business deals not working right, career being threatened, something somewhere, health of a cousin, health of a relative, something. But it says, listen, be anxious for nothing. It's not a suggestion. It's God's word. It's God's word. Meaning it's basically a command. This is how it goes. This is how it works. It is what it is. This is it. Do you understand that? Not, Bible advised me so I don't have to take it. No, this is God's word. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So that part is amusing. You're asking me, first of all, not to be anxious. I'll try. And then you said I should pray. Okay, I'm praying. Now you say I should pray with thanksgiving. Things are not okay. Why should I thank God? No, it's a principle. It is God's word. You've got to tone down anxiety by faith. It won't go away by itself. You say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be anxious. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to act on God's word. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So I right now would be anxious about nothing. In the name of Jesus, I am anxious for nothing. Thank you, Lord. And then I pray, Father, thank you. This business deal, Father, thank you. This, issue here, Father, thank you. And then you pray. And then you say, thank you, Father, because listen, there's a lot to thank God for. Jesus hung on the cross without you asking. All right. And then he provided everything we need, everything we would ever need. So, Father, thank you because you've made all grace available unto me. Thank you, therefore. You thank him. Thank you because I know your wisdom is available here. So in the name of Jesus, I declare. And then you swing into your prayer and then you thank him again. Did you get that? Now the seventh verse says, then the peace of God, having prayed without anxiety, having thanked God and maintained that gratitude attitude, all right? And the peace of God will guard your heart and mind. But it now says something about that peace. It calls it a peace that passes understanding. It means you can have peace in the midst of trouble. This is not you trying to be oblivious or being oblivious of what's going on. No. This is not you ignoring things and trying to, dance away your sorrow. I don't know if some of you heard any song like that when you were growing up, but I did, dance away your sorrow, dance away, No, the song you don't, it's there, except you're dancing and rejoicing in the Holy Ghost. You watch a movie, you come back, it's there. It's there. So it's not you ignoring. It's not you being taught to act like the ostrich. You know what the ostrich will do? Okay, so it buries its head, all right? And then as long the ostrich feels, since I can't see you, then I believe you can't see me. Isn't that funny? So the ostrich hides its head and say, well, I can't see you. I can't see you. That means you're not there anymore. No, ostrich, raise your head. That thing, that person, whatever it is still there. So this is not ostrich principle. This is God's word. So it says the peace of God that passes all understanding. So it goes back again to quiet streams, gentle streams, quiet streams, gentle streams. How do I enjoy the quiet streams? It means you go to your quiet place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now the goal is if you're born again, you're there. All right. So it's not go like, okay, where do I find it? It's there in your communion with the Father. Shut the things of the world out. Shut the pressures out of your mind. As in the name of Jesus, I set my mind on things above. I set my mind on you and your word. I set my mind. If you talk the word about that situation more and more, you realize that confidence and quietness and rest and peace and joy will rise up in your heart. Did you get that? Confidence and quietness and rest and peace and joy would rise up in your heart. Why? All because you give attention to the word. All because you give attention to the word. It would rise up. Confidence and peace and rest. Please get this. This can only be enjoyed by you doing the word and following the leading of the Holy Ghost. Because don't forget, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. If he would make us lie down in green pastures, it means we would have trusted him enough to follow him to the green pastures. All right? It means we trust him enough. We trust him enough. It all begins, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. So it begins with, I trust you. I follow you. I trust you. I follow you. I trust you. I follow you. Did you get that? So he makes me lie down. I have to allow. I follow. He leads me beside the still waters. I allow. I follow. So you and I have got to give him place. Lead me. So that quiet place, that gentle stream, that quiet, gentle stream is so important to us, guys. Glory to God. So still reading Isaiah, we're not done with it. So the 16th verse again says, then judgment will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. So I'll stop at the 18th verse. So beautiful. And my people will dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. My people. Did you get that? My people, all right? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Will dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Do you want to say this with me? I dwell in a peaceable habitation. I dwell in a sure dwelling and in a quiet resting place. Now, this could be physical, but I hope you know it could be emotional, but it primarily would be spiritual because you are in Christ. Now, by the work of the Spirit, your dwelling place is Christ Jesus. Did you get this? So you are in a place of peace. As I said, go to, but the going to is you're there. You're there, but let your emotions stay there. Spiritually speaking, you're there, but let your emotions stay there. Please, let your emotions stay there. Your emotions will want to run around and be disturbed and be, no, but let your emotions stay there. I dwell in a peaceable habitation. I dwell in a sure dwelling. I dwell in a quiet resting place. Because you could live on a quiet street, in a quiet estate, in a quiet house, and then you can't have a great sleep because you brought noise with you to that house. You brought disturbances with you to that home. You brought trouble, you know, along. You could be in a quiet room, on a quiet bed, resting on a quiet sofa, all right, or just on a quiet road trip, and then you are not quiet. So you've got to remind yourself, I'm in a place of peace. I'm in a place of rest. Thank you, Lord. I'm in a place of peace. I am in a place of rest. And then you draw from that place because he makes you lie down in green pastures. And then he leads you beside the still waters. Please understand this, all right? He leads you beside the still waters. He restores your soul. NIV of March 11, I'll begin a roundup on this. NIV March 11, 28 says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. That resting place, come to me. In returning and in rest, your strength will be, come to me. Many believers think of suicide, but they live in a resting place. They live in the most quiet of all quiet resting places. He says, come to me, all you who labor. Come to me. I will give you rest. Come to me, child of God. So we're going to round up there. It will bless you. But let me just read the Message translation and then we end. It says, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live freely and lightly. So come to him for pure rest, for pure strength, for pure joy. You're born again, but then you're troubled. Allow him to lead you to green pastures and to quiet resting places. I believe this blessed you. I look forward to you joining me again tomorrow. Just share. Let someone else get blessed. And then have a beautiful day. Bye. With your love, Jesus, my shepherd and only provider, you make me lie down in green pastures, you lead me beside the still water, you restore.